yes, yes, indeed. Welcome, welcome, indeed. It is a Saturday evening. I think it's the first day of spring officially. If it's not, it's like, you know what I'm saying? First day of spring. It was 80 degrees out here in Nashville. So, you know, they acting up. It's been ass out all day. You know what I'm saying? And we are on the road to WrestleMania a little further than before, because the last time you saw us, it was right before Elimination Chamber. And, hey, we do be knowing. So let's keep talking about wrestling. Let's keep talking like nobody else in the world. Let's get ready for the first Black Champ podcast. And I am still your podcast intercontinental champion, Daniel San, from the port.
And I am JR Bang from outside. And make sure y'all rate, like, subscribe, download the Barber's Chair Network. Wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, go there. Home of FBC POD. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at the FBC POD. And I want to kick off the show with something that I've been doing for the last couple of weeks. Okay. So if you go on Peacock or even on Netflix right now, because they're moving a lot of the WWE Network stuff over there. If you go on those, you can't see WWF Superstars until like 92, which to me is dumb. Like, if you're going to put them on there, put them all. Yeah. But I understand now, because what I did, I won't even name the Facebook group because I think sometimes, or the YouTube joint, because I think sometimes the WWE might be listening. But there's a YouTube page that has WWF Superstar episodes.
Wow.
Now, I've said on this podcast, I start really watching wrestling WrestleMania 4. That is the start of my wrestling watch. So anything before WrestleMania 4, I don't know. For when it comes to the program that I consistently watched every Saturday, WWF Superstars. So I found it, and I've been doing a, I call it a personal rewatch.
Okay.
Call it a personal rewatch because I have always wanted to see the build-up to, like, WrestleMania 2 or WrestleMania 3 starting to go into some of these other ones. So I 86 was out the way quick.
Okay.
Because if I can remember correctly, Superstar started in September of 1986. So I've been watching 1987. And Camp, a lot of aha moments. A lot of, this is what they were talking about. Like, for example, Demolition will be going into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. Congratulations.
Awesome.
To Access. Awesome. It's well-deserved and long overdue. But a lot of people don't know that Demolition didn't start with Smash being the original Smash, Barry Darso. Moondog spot of the Moondogs, the legendary tag team, the Moondogs, was originally Smash.
Wow. Wow.
But people knew that was Moondog spot. And the makeup was terrible, but everybody knew that was Moondog spot. So a couple of weeks into their debut, they move on from Moondog spot. And now Barry Darso is a member of Demolition. Now, there's a legendary wrestler named the Masked Superstar.
Yes.
He is X. The Masked Superstar was a part of the Machines, which was the tag team that they put together. It had Andre the Giant, is like Giant Machine and everything. If anybody ever watched WWE Big Event, you know the tag team that I'm talking about. So he went from Mad Superstar to Machine to goddamn Axe. And Demolition was originally managed by Johnny Valiant. Wow. It's no match. Like when they brought in Mr. Fuji, I was like, oh yeah, this makes sense. This makes sense. This makes sense. Another one which I sent to you because you have championed this tag team. You've championed this tag team.
Facts.
Seeing how the Young Stallions connected and became the Young Stallions was wild.
That wild is very tame. As I watched that whole thing with my adult brain, that's a very tame wild. And I say it for this reason. They, in hindsight, you don't know this, but they used three WWE Hall of Famers and one of the biggest television stars of the 1980s to put over Paul Roma. Be clear. Paul Roma. Jim Powers was just supposed to just make it by, like, just heat check. But that was all for Paul Roma. And now, we got to have the doc. WWE Films. I don't care who do it. Dark Side of the Ring. I don't care who do it. I need 3 hours of edited content on why Paul Roma was the original Bret Hart at this point. I'm not here. Hey, he was supposed to be Vince's Shawn Michaels.
He was supposed to be something.
Yeah. That they gotta explain that. Hey, look, Young Stallions. I put them in my top 50 WWE tag teams of all time.
You did.
I mess with Paul Roma and Jim Powers. But that's unreal. He got the push that people wanted Zack Ryder to have.
So to give context to what Camp is saying, there was a tag team match where they put together, they're not the Young Stallions yet. No. It is Paul Roma and Jim Powers. When you know who they're going against, it's like, oh, they job in this match.
Yep.
It is Sika and Kamala. And I want to say the manager was, I want to say Mr. Fuji or somebody, but it was three people that are WWE Hall of Famers. And not only did they drop kick both of them and the crowd goes wild, they won by disqualification.
Yeah.
And then the next week, they had matching robes.
Hey.
The next week.
When I tell you, and then like the Hart Foundation and Jimmy Hart, it's like, wait a minute. See, this is why Wild is tame. As I really sit here and think about it some more. Vince McMahon used Mr. T to sell WrestleMania and build Hulkamania to a black demo.
Yeah.
And now
that afro. Yeah,
and now he's being used on Superstars to put over Paul Roma. Nobody's wigging out about that but me.
No, I was wigging out about that too, because I was like, why is Mr. T reffing this match?
Right.
Like, I know they got the whole thing with Danny Davis going on, but why did they bring Mr. T for this random tag team match on WWF Superstars with Kamala and Sika?
Man, listen.
Versus not the Young Stallions.
Yeah.
Paul Roma and Jim Powers. They don't have a name yet.
Not at all.
And the pop that crowd gave them.
Incredible. Well,
actually, I just got through barbecuing. So you're half right. Literally just got through barbecuing. But Mr. T puts over those two against Sika and Kamala. And again, I can't remember who the Hall of Fame manager was with them. And they got matching robes. And that actually goes into what I was saying about the road to Survivor Series.
Yeah.
But before I go there, I need you to explain to the people why the Young Stallions is in your top 50. Like, Paul Roma,
right,
former Four Horseman. Two, when you think about it, he's a former Four Horseman.
Yeah.
So he got the Ric Flair rub.
Yeah.
Mr. T rub. Sika and Kamala in their prime. Well, Sika's not as in his prime, but Kamala's damn near in it. And out of all of the tag teams, not the Killer Bees.
Nope. With that ass promo that Jumpin' Jim Brunzel cut in that, like, dog, I say, hey, if anybody ever asks why the Killer Bees didn't make it, go to that promo.
Yeah.
Like, that was the most Ned Flanders ass. Yo, Jim, come on, Jim. Come on, man. Give it the old college try ass promo. Get out of here, man. Hey, Russ, I got to call Cap. Listen, I just like the Young Stallions because they seem just very upbeat and energetic. Wildly enough, when we're talking about 87, 88, 89, I am more high on the Young Stallions than I am the Rockers. And it's literally the Mr. Olympia version of the Rockers. That's who the Young Stallions are. They just swole Sean and Marty. That's all they are. But but it was, you know, I guess I just had the Vince McMahon eye or ear or however they say it in wrestling. There was something that was just aesthetically right about the Young Stallions. And even as I look back at teams before them and also after them, like, I don't know why the two bodybuilding looking dudes never really get over. There's always like one athletic guy and maybe like a bigger heavyset guy. nobody could probably like Marty, you damn right. Yeah. And I also just think, you know, or either you could be like both like 6'8", 7 feet, like maybe the Powers of Pain are the closest to this, right? They're like the mutant version of the Young Stallions. But, man, I will say, if I'm just on the mechanics of wrestling, see the things that people think make all the indie wrestlers good and why, like, Del Harold, like, oh, God, Brian Kendrick is the trainer, you know, or like, you know, although, you know, Natty's Hook, damn, what's that? TJ produced this. They wrestle like that. And I think that is important when you're building teams, but obviously there was a charisma X factor, it factor that they just fell short of. But I mean, at seven, I don't care about any of that.
Every time I watched an episode of Superstars and Paul Roma jumped on the screen, the ladies cheered. Thanks. Like, even when he had the Italian Afro, they was like, Paul Roma, he do the little smile, and ladies like, ah! I'm like, yo, Paul Roma is way over than I thought he was going to be as a jobber.
Yeah, right.
The other part of it is, too, and look, y'all, I'm not going to do this. Like, I'm not going to have this conversation with y'all talking about Paul Roma in the way that y'all talk about Paul Roma, because Paul Roma, it, to me, is also a part of one of the most underrated tag teams in the 90s of all time, and that is Power and Glory. Power and Glory still has the best tag team maneuver that I've seen outside of, like, the Road Warriors and stuff. Mm. The superplex to the splash, the
timing, still my favorite.
That's still my favorite tag team finish of all time. So, if this is a Paul Roma Stan Paul podcast, then let it be known. This is a Paul Roma Stan podcast. I don't give him shit for him sucking as a horseman, because at the end of the day, he was a horseman. Yeah. Everybody don't get that, all right? So just watch, go find them Superstar episodes, and you'll understand, while he was a jobber taking pins, when they said in the ring currently, from wherever he's from, weighing whatever pounds he weighed, Paul Roma, the crowd cheered. They knew they had something. And that fro was not a good fro. However, it worked. The slow build to I don't like. I feel you on America's Most Wanted. That's a great finish.
I'm trying to think timing, what the finisher is.
The timing. Just go look at Power and Glory, and just know and understand that's slow Hercules. That ain't even prime Hercules. Yeah. That's slow Hercules with the steroids and the bumps in his back.
When the steroids that give you acne. Yeah,
he on them acne joints. The Survivor Series slow build. What was dope is all of a sudden on Superstars, you start seeing 6-man tag matches and 8-man tag matches. You started seeing all of the Heenan family come down to the ring. You start seeing all of the Hart Foundation, Jimmy Hart's group, come down the ring. It's like, oh, okay. Now, it was those random moments, like when Don Morocco and Cowboy Bob Orton split, they was in a 6-man match, and they had some random-ass dude named, like, John Pinto or something. So it was like already in the ring from Hawaii, Don Morocco, and from St. Louis, Missouri, Cowboy Bob Orton, and from wherever he's from, Jim Pinto. And I was like, oh, he taking the pin.
Right. Facts.
Not only did Buddy not take the pin, Don Morocco got mad at Cowboy, and then they got to fighting.
He wasn't even there no more.
Like, he wasn't even there no more. He was like, I'm just going back to the ring. It's like, but that was dope seeing that. The slow build into the Survivor Series, seeing Paul Orndorff leave the Heenan family because Bobby the Brain Heenan was like, yo, I got somebody with the best body in wrestling, Ravishing Rick Rude. And the commentator, and I can't remember dude's name, but there was a Sean Mooney before Sean Mooney.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is Sean Mooney before Sean Mooney. It's like Craig the James or some shit like that. But seeing the slow build to the Survivor Series, seeing Paul Orndorff leave the Heenan family, seeing Ravishing Rick Rude join the Heenan family, seeing the build up to who is Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah, man.
And they didn't even say Bigelow. They was just like, yo, every manager was like, yo, I got the services of Bam Bam. And they was like, yo, Vince McMahon was like, who's Bam Bam Bigelow? Jesse Body Ventura was like, I don't know, but he got to be something with everybody like trying to get him. Also, the subtle racism of Jesse the Body Ventura.
Oh, man. Elite in that clip from what I saw so far. I got to watch the end.
The subtle racism of Jesse the Body Ventura. Because when you see Jesse the Body Ventura with Coco Beware and him calling him Buckwheat during his matches.
Yeah. Like off the rip, like, hey, for fault. Because, I mean, granted, he know the demo, but damn. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, well, you got to do it like that.
Yeah, and this is on TV, y'all. Like that man in one episode said, he said that his dad must be Buckwheat. And it looks like his dad didn't get the money he was supposed to get. And I was just like,
damn. So, hey, so see, this is why this new era is trying to cancel him when they rebooted Saturday Night's Main Event. Talking about the Buckwheat shirt.
I remember.
Context. So,
hey, he wrote.
Maybe y'all got Buckwheat. That one.
Yeah. Jesse Body Ventura ran with the Buckwheat jokes a little bit too hard.
Yeah.
When Coco Beware was around. Also, the theme songs. Coco Beware coming out to the bird. Macho Man being the all-time leader in superstar appearances.
Yeah.
That man and Demolition, I feel like, is on every episode. And it makes sense because Demolition eventually becomes tag team champions, and Macho Man eventually becomes the world champion. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Can-Am Connection, for those who might not be old enough to remember, the Can-Am Connection was Tom Zink and Rick Martel.
Yeah.
Tom Zink quit. And then there was an episode of Superstars where they was like, yo, Rick, what you gonna do? Your tag team partner just quit. Rick the Model Martel was like, Hey, man, it's a sad day. Can't believe it happened. But it's going to be all right. He gets jumped by the Islanders, who turns heel now. And then Tito Santana comes in. But Jesse the Body Ventura, that racism again. How come they can't be called the Mexican Connection?
Yeah.
One's Mexican and the other's from Canada. Mexican. Like, yo.
Hell no.
We got to have a conversation about the subtle racism.
Subtle? Hey, well, that's something for the 80s.
The 80s. Yeah. It's subtle for the 80s. The debut of the Million Dollar Man.
Which is funny.
Seeing it from the beginning to him being in the ring was also great, is seeing finishers before the main finisher, because Million Dollar Man's finisher wasn't the Million Dollar Dream alone.
Right.
It was the Million Dollar Dream. Then he puts him into a Russian leg sweep. The original finisher. The original finisher for Rick Rude wasn't the Rude Awakening. It was a backbreaker. It was like a different version of the torture rack. I was sitting there like, damn. I didn't know that that was not his original finisher.
Yeah.
Killer Khan is another one. Killer Khan, who was most notable for his feud with Andre the Giant, he was like a formidable opponent for Hulk Hogan before Survivor Series. He spit the mist in Hulk Hogan's face on the snake pick. I'm like, damn. Where he come from?
Right.
Like, where he come from? But, Camp, I'm going to tell you the biggest thing that I've, that has made me, it's not nostalgic in this case.
Okay.
I missed the mid-card. The mid-card.
Like the real mid-card.
Oh, my God. Like, the 80s, I want to say the 80s and the 90s were true mid-card.
Yeah,
that's true mid-card, Jack. Like when you see the debut of Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you could not tell me that they was going to put Hacksaw Jim Duggan in the main event spot, but like he did cocaine with the Iron Sheik.
Yeah, like, man.
That's what messed up.
Talking about breaking kayfabe.
Right, but Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Don Morocco, Butch Reed, the one-man gang beat up like four people in the ring. I like, damn, One Man Gang was really a monster out here. Paul Orndorff, King Kong Bundy, I said Ravishing Rick Rude, Coco Beware, the Young Stallions, the Killer Bees. Goddamn, fam, I saw the debut of Sam Houston today.
Really?
Man.
Why? And y'all shoot me that, because I'll literally be wondering where dude came from. And I messed with Sam Houston, but I was like, yo, where did he come from?
Yo, today I saw the episode. Now find the episode and send it to you. But it was the debut of Sam Houston. And I was like, whoa. Oh, the Honky Tonk Man. So the Honky Tonk Man entered the WWE as a face. But the fans wasn't fucking with him.
Oh, really?
So they did it.
Because he's supposed to be Elvis. People love Elvis.
Fam, they did a write-in campaign. That's why he turned heel.
Wow.
It was basically doing a write-in campaign to support the Honky Tonk Man, and apparently nobody wrote in.
Heck no.
Fam.
That's hilarious.
When I tell you, and I am at the week before Survivor Series. Now, that's crazy because this is the week before Survivor Series. So right. Everything that I just told you is literally everything after WrestleMania 3 and before the Survivor Series, weekly television. It made me miss the mid-card watching WWF Superstars in the 80s. And I know Jonathan Hood, the big homie, would be like, yeah, so they was invade, they was grabbing talent from Mid-South, and that's why you got Junkyard Dog, and that's why you got Butch Reed and Dirty Dick Slater, and they raided some other places, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Million Dollar Man, they both came from Mid-South. And I think Coco Beware came from there too. Well, he came from Tennessee. And you get all, I understand that, truly do. But man, oh man, I realize the complaints that people have about wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
To me, after watching these old episodes, it's not about the storylines to me at this point.
Mm.
It's about the mid-card. When you have Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant, you got to have the rest of the card to fill that out.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you get Ricky the Dragon Steamboat versus Macho Man. Then you transition to Ricky the Dragon Steamboat versus Honky Tonk Man. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat has a baby. He say he want to spend more time. Can I get some time off? They say, fam, we going to give it to Butch Reed. Butch Reed no shows. Hulk Hogan says, give it to Honky. Yeah. Honky wins
it. Give it to the Honky.
Honky says, Honky says he's the greatest intercontinental champion of all time. Who gets upset? Macho Man. That's why he turned face. He turned face because dude said he was better than him. And he was like, yo, wait a minute, hold on, fam. I didn't get my return match. Hell no. Then that goes to Saturday night's main event and the Hart Foundation and the Honky Tonk Man jumping Macho Man. Elizabeth says, let me go get Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan comes out. That's the Mega Powers. That's all mid-card shit.
Yeah.
That is pushing the main eventers.
And everybody gets
up that.
Yeah, and everybody gets elevated because of the champ.
Yes. So we don't have that. Yeah. We don't. That the mid card is not strong at all. And I don't know if it's because people are focusing on the main card or if the mid card in the WWE or even AEW just sucks right now.
Here's a question, and I'm gonna kind of modify it now that you said that last piece. Do you think the problem with the mid card is that we're treating everybody like a superstar now? You know, like we kind of come from that era where like Macho Man's a superstar, Hulk Hogan's a superstar, Ultimate Warrior's a superstar, but Tito Santana's a wrestler.
I'll say this, in watching superstars, Tito Santana was a superstar.
Oh, okay.
Bam Bam Bigelow was a superstar. The One Man Gang, Don Morocco, Ken Patera. They were Coco Beware. They were superstars.
Okay.
I actually think that's the problem.
Okay.
Who's a super? After we get to talking about Cody and Punk and Roman and Randy. Who, when you look at that screen, screams superstar? I watched a one-man gang beat up four people, and everybody gets scared, and that's on the road to Survivor Series. Bronson Reed gives Seth Rollins six tsunamis, and what happens after that?
Yeah.
Not a goddamn thing. Shit. The jobbers was damn. Fam, when Iron Mike Sharp popped up on that screen, I was like, oh shit. It's Canada's greatest athlete.
Right. Hey, to the point, and I see what Russ saying too. Some of the jobbers, you know, what's so ill is that if you really watch wrestling week to week back then, the jobbers became superstars to you.
Like you saw them every day.
Oh, that's Barry Horowitz. I know he about to get his ass beat.
I know he about to get his ass beat. That's why I said Macho. That's why I said Macho Man was the all-time leader in WWE superstar appearances. And every time you saw Macho Man, even when you hated him in 1986 and early 1987, he was on your screen. You knew who he was. Mm-hmm. You knew who Ricky the Dragon Steamboat was. You started to see the ascension of Demolition. And even though they was whooping jobbers' asses, it was like, yo, we see them on TV every week. if anything, it made me look at why the brand splits and the drafts was important. Because when you start seeing JBL before, you know, when Bradshaw and Farouk first broke up because of the brand split, that put JBL in a good light. Now you start looking at Bradshaw going up against the NWO and you're like, yo, got some potential here. Eddie Guerrero, Edge, Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit. Sorry, y'all, but had to name it. There's number of wrestlers who benefited, from the brand split because you get to see them every week. If I'm looking at Macho Man every week and he winning every week, what you think or who you think I'm going to be like, that's my favorite wrestler in 1988?
Right.
For somebody who's a Macho Man fan, now I understand why I was a Macho Man fan. Because while Hulk Hogan was talking to Brother Love and not wrestling, except that one episode where he wrestled Dino Bravo, Macho Man was on Superstars giving niggas elbows every Saturday morning.
Yeah, it's hard not to like him when you see him getting the bionic elbow off week to week.
So I understand why Macho Man was my favorite wrestler in the late 80s, early 90s. But it's not just because they put him on the screen. He had the look. He had the charisma. All of those things. He was a superstar. But watching old WWE superstars, to finish this off, to get to watch old episodes that I have not seen before, going into when I started watching wrestling, man, oh man, the mid card is lacking. And when you're trying to fill up WrestleMania, you could put CM Punk versus Roman Reigns at night two. You could put Cody versus Randy Orton at night one in the main event. But who gonna fill up the rest of the shit? When you start looking at some of these joints, don't look at it in the mindset of 2026 or even 2006 or 1996. When you saw all of those tag teams go up against each other at the Survivor Series, they all looked like superstars because you saw them every day. Now, Jim Brunzell may give you that bunk-ass promo, that try-our promo, but man, watching this made me miss the mid-card. But to move on from the mid-card, who's the heel?
Yeah, for sure.
If it was a game show hosted by Chuck Woolery or, you know, what's my man name? Eubanks?
Yeah.
No, whatever, we'd be like, yo, who's the heel? So, let's start with, I feel like I want to put some music behind it, but only music I got is, we got is the other music. So let's go into what seems to be the night one main event. Yes. Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes.
Yes.
Who's the heel? Is it Randy or is it Cody?
Man, that's an interesting question, but I'm gonna pick for the people because I know what they want to do. It's Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is the heel. The new trend I love though is when the legend of the Attitude Era, or no, the Ruthless Aggression Era, one of the legends of the Ruthless Aggression Era starts using dirty tactics and people begin to cheer louder for them. It's like, oh, this is throwback wrestling. Yeah. I'm so hype about it. So for that, like Randy Orton beating up Cody Rhodes has made him the hottest wrestler, one of the hottest wrestlers in the world right now. So he got to be the face. Cody got to be the heel.
The WWE know goddamn well that everybody gonna cheer Randall Keith Orton every time he do something. There was a tweet and a sign that came up that says, oh, 09 Randy Orton is back. What we think? We gonna boo that?
Right.
We gonna boo that?
It's impossible.
It is impossible to boo that. I know the WWE wants Randy to be the heel here, but Randy Orton is going to get an extremely huge pop. And if Randy Orton does not win that championship at WrestleMania, Oh, you know that the fans are going to be very upset at the fact that Cody wins again.
Yeah, that they might call this the worst WrestleMania ever if that happens.
Yes. They're going, I am telling you right now, Cody Rhodes, they was better off turning Cody heel. Mm. And as Rush said, pairing him with Ethan Page and the Ricky Saints to do it. They were better off making Cody the heel now.
Yeah.
Because the fans are totally in love with 09 Randall Keith Orton being back.
Yeah, that's when you knew he was going to be in the Hall of Fame. Oh, he was like, okay. He one of the greatest. Okay, bet.
I mean, now, am I wrong in thinking that the WWE made a bad decision for Randy Orton being placed in the heel role? Or is this truly a heel role when we know this is psychotic Randy Orton? Like, would it be a no-win situation when it comes to turning this man heel or doing what they're doing in the first place? People cheer for Randall Keith Orton regardless.
Right.
In this situation.
Well, see, you said it within answering the question, right? We're not cheering for heel Randy Orton, really. We're cheering for 09 Randy Orton, or we're cheering for psychotic version. So now we've literally taken him off a side and put him as a character trait. And just like any other movie, oh, that's the psycho killer in the movie. Okay, boom. I'm focused. I'm locked in. What does the killer in the movie do? So, and you don't, and it's never heel or face. Like, I don't know if Freddy Krueger or Michael Myers are truly heels or faces or not. I don't know. I haven't really heard their side. But I know that it's, you know, you don't immediately cheer or immediately boo. You're either going to be fearful or you're going to laugh. And that's what psychotic Randy Orton is. I'm like, I'm scared that he's going to do something crazy and kill somebody. But wow, this is funny. This is wild. This is entertaining. I'm here for it.
All right, man. Look, I don't think the fans would care either way. They just want Randy Orton to win. I think people are tired of Cody Rhodes winning. But I think more than anything, they're tired of Randy. And I said this a couple of weeks ago, I'll say it again. I think people are tired of try hard Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
That whole win one for the Gipper, right. I love you guys, I'm doing this for you shit. Folks don't care about that no more. And they were better off having Cody Rhodes beat the shit out of Randy Orton to tell Randy Orton, yo, I know you're the homie, but I also know you. And I know you will try to do this to me, so I'm just going to go ahead and get it out the way. You're not winning this title. You're not going to win this title. You're not going to be better than me in any way, shape, or form. I've outgrown you. And I've learned what you taught me, and I learned more than you, better than you, and you know it. And before you strike me, I'm going to strike you. And that's what they should have did with Cody instead of him doing this whole, hey, man, I love it. We wrestling against each other. Hug it out, bro.
Hey, Cody, listen, this is why Randy Orton is the face. So you just made me remember what I was going to say last week. Randy Orton is the face because Cody Rhodes came in that damn ring to sign that contract. Like, he was about to do an exhibition match and just know he was going to walk away with the title. Like, I was like, yeah, you know what? I mean, I beat the real competition. It was due last week or whatever. Hey, Randy, oh, man, hey, I'm glad to have you back. You know, yo, don't hold back. Don't hold back on me, bud. You know, give me all you got, you know? Like, make it look good, you know? But it was like Randy Orton was like, wait, what? Hold on. No. Like, wait, I can beat. Yo, I can kill you and take this title. And that, yeah, and that's why I use the phrases like, dude, don't ever disrespect me like that from all these people, man. At WrestleMania.
And when you add the fact that Randy Orton is chasing Cody Rhodes, because Cody Rhodes is the champion,
yeah,
I think they made the wrong decision. Randy Orton should have got his ass beat that SmackDown, and he should have got his ass beat by Cody and some other niggas.
So my immediate question to you is then, so you want to see a face Randy Orton win a title at WrestleMania?
Yeah, because unfortunately, even the dastardly psychotic Randy Orton was always going to be a face because that's our favorite Randy Orton.
Okay.
That's our favorite Randy Orton is psychotic Randy Orton. Our favorite Randy Orton is when he punts Stephanie McMahon in front of Triple H. Our favorite Randy Orton is when he RKOs and punts Vince McMahon. Our favorite Randy Orton is him giving the doctor's note and saying he got some mental disorder and y'all can't fire him. our favorite Randy Orton ain't the good guy, even though he could do it. So when we see psychotic Randy Orton back, we like, hey, it's time. Like, we don't want to see that person lose. We want to see that person psychotic. And if anything, he could still be psychotic Randy Orton, especially if Cody Rhodes is the reason why he becomes psychotic again. All he had to do was beat Randy's ass and have a couple of dudes to help him. And then Randy gets hit in the head a couple of times. And then next thing you know, he's the Viper. Really the Viper. He's just sliding up on folks. That could have happened. That's what should have happened. They still want to make Cody the good guy. I'm straight on that. Let's go to CM Punk versus Roman Reigns. Now, before we ask this question, are you liking the personal promos for these two? Like, are you liking the promos that you're hearing? Because it seems hella personal and hella real.
Yeah. So I want to watch them all back to back. Like, I might even do that just in preparation for one of the next shows. But I hate that the fact, so this is climaxing with CM Punk so mad that he wants to hit Roman Reigns for calling him old. And I'm like, for me, nah. I just, like, that don't hit for me. That don't hit because, like, Roman Reigns is like 39 or like 40. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. I just don't. Out of everything that could have been said, you know, like, I would have even respected Roman Reigns being like, I hate you because now you want to be John Cena. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's why I got to get rid of your dumb ass. Like, you know what I mean? Because now you want to be John Cena since he's not here no more. And since you're back, like, we're not doing all that. We're going to pack you up, get you up out of here. I like that better than, hey, yo, I hate you and I'm better than you. Because, like, when the Roman's first promos was like, oh, you stole my wise man. It's like, oh, y'all fighting over a nigga? Come on, dog. Like, what we doing? Like, this, like, it's not. So, for me, I get it. And the jabs are cool. Don't get me wrong. I do like some of the jabs. But the story, it ain't no story for me. I don't feel a real story. And that's why I can't really, like, get excited about it.
I'm more excited when they fight.
Yeah.
I'm not the, I need to hear personal promos. I need to see, if, matter of fact, I need to see what we're seeing with Drew McIntyre and Jacob Fatu in this joint. I can't stand to see the sight of dude. So I'm fighting every time I see him. I need to see that. I don't care about these jabs and stuff. Like, no, I need to see anger, frustration, and we fighting. And then they put the dramatic thing behind it every time they fight. They speed right. up the punches and shit like that. I need to see fighting. I haven't seen fighting. So until I see fighting, I'm straight. I ain't worried about it. However, who's the heel in this matchup? Is it Punk? Is it Roman? Is it Phil? Is it Joe? Or Titty or whatever? See a Punk said. That was funny. I call you by your real name, Titty or whatever. I will call you Joe, but I respect this Joe. That was funny, but who's the heel in this matchup right now?
So in this one, the heel is meant to be Roman Reigns, but Roman Reigns has made every single Samoan wrestler a tweener. He's made them all. Like, now we want to see Samoan set it off. Like, and this ain't our uncle's father's wrestling, you know what I mean? Where they come out like savages and you're scared of them because you're going to get headbutted and like with like a chicken carcass, or you're going to get a Cornish hen thrown at you or something like that. It's like, nah. Like, now the more violent Samoans become and the more they stand on business and start beating people up, kicking their heads off, beating them with chairs, like we start to love them. So you just got to go Samoan, and wow, you don't get booed. Like, nobody, who's the Samoan being booed right now in WWE? Just name one.
Solo.
Hey, no, they booing the niggas behind them.
No, not when you watch SmackDown. When you watch SmackDown Friday. They look like him. He's the lame. He's lame. He's lame ass about it. Like the what's that? The Tongans. The Tongans looking at him like, yo, you a lame. So, oh, man. He getting booed because he's a lame right now.
Man, so you know, but we know it is support. Well, actually, wait, I can't really say that. I can't really say that because Roman Reigns is, he's still supposed to be a face right now. And really, if this was 10 years ago or 12 years ago, however many years it was, and CM Punk would have been coming back or anything like that, these promos hit a lot harder. So I feel that would have made CM Punk the heel. Because like, yeah, you can't beat him and you left. But again, it just, sorry. Okay. But I'll go Roman. I'll go Roman as the heel.
Drew McIntyre versus Jacob Fatu. Who's the heel?
Oh, Drew McIntyre for sure.
So it is Drew.
Yeah. That one's clean now. Cause now Drew McIntyre tell you ain't shit. You're like, your kids think you ain't shit.
Well, we did get one of those vehicular homicide attempts on SmackDown. Only the heel hit people with cars.
Yep.
And drag them out and whoop their ass. So Drew might be the only heel. And it's the question, does this match need a stipulation, though? Because these dudes, first of all, Pyru Fatu, you know what I'm saying? Coming to SmackDown, we're all red on. So we know what set he claim. And then he's going against the Scottish dude who don't care. He's the dude that came to America and don't care if you're a Crip of blood. He don't even know what it is. He just want to fight.
Yeah. Just like life, man.
So where we at? Where we going?
Come on. We know what we're going to get. A Las Vegas street fight. It's unsanctioned. We don't have any contracts for this. Whatever you guys do is what you guys do. And they're going to let somebody gonna get thrown in the at that little pool at the Venetian or something. I don't like.
Yo, it'd be funny as hell if they just be fighting down the strip. Like,
yeah.
That will be fun. And the way these fights have been going, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, if they can do the whole Goldust Roddy Piper thing, the backstage Hollywood brawl or whatever that was. Yeah, do that.
Do that.
Yeah, it's been a minute since we had one, and I think this will be just as hard hitting, if not more than that one.
Hey, man. Look, last thing we got before we get to Do We Care, Obafemi. He held it down for the black folks. Man. We thought we was going to get Seth versus Brock. Seth was in the ring with all of the men in black hoodies.
Yeah.
But then Obafemi came through and gave maybe the most impactful power bomb in years.
Yeah. I'm with that.
How are we feeling about Obafemi and his moment on Monday?
Man. I'll say this, as much as that demo, and we know the demo that loves Brock Lesnar, as much as we know that, that pop for Obafemi on that powerbomb was damn near equivalent to Kofi getting the two count. at WrestleMania, or bigger than when he won the gauntlet, when he got to the match three in the gauntlet, and everybody was like, yeah, no. He was like, yeah, I've been here too long. It was bigger than that, and I didn't expect that moment to go over that well.
Yeah.
So you can't be but over the moon for Obafemi right now, because, wow, they letting the big black African beat the white bear of bears, rest in peace to Vader. So, I mean, man, that was insane. I didn't expect that. So it's got to be high.
Yeah, I didn't expect that either, but I'll take it. And I will say this. He do that again, we inching closer to that. He better not get Booker T'd.
Man, hey, listen. That's why I'm trying to contain myself until, you know, because, man, hey, bro, they do all that for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Hey,
we getting a big meaty men slapping meat match.
Yikes.
This match ain't going to be no more than 10 minutes long at the most.
With intros.
Right, with intros, because it's going to take 3 minutes for Obafemi to come down. So this is a 10-minute match from intro to ending. He do that one more time, he better not get Booker T'd. He better win that match. I am not picking Obafemi right now, but that cannot happen, because if it happens, that's going to be a problem. Now, let's go ahead and get into you guys' favorite segment. Do We Care? We got a couple here, and a lot of these happened on SmackDown. Matter of fact, all of them happened on SmackDown last night, Friday night. B-Fab and Mee Chin, they join Jade Cargill. Do We Care?
I ain't gonna front, low key, I do, but I care because of B-Fab. I don't know what it is. I'm starting to fall in love with B-Fat. And after she was speaking Spanish at the Spain Monday Night Raw, yeah, I'm just here for it. So I care, because how are you going to use this? Because technically, both of these women are way more popular, established, and elevated than you.
Ha. I'm just going to move on. R-Truth and Damian Priest are your SmackDown Tag Team Champions. In fact, the best part of this is it looked like Damian Priest had no idea they were going to win.
Yeah.
It looked like he was genuinely shocked and surprised that this happened. Do we care? This is the first Black Chat podcast, but yeah. Do we care that R-Truth and Damian Priest are the Tag Team Champions?
We don't care, but we should be concerned. I mean, duh. Damian Priest is the tag team champion, huh? What? He's not. So he don't even be a singles competitor.
Hey, that's, man, you already
wrestling
know
the other top guys.
And you already know my thoughts and my feelings. You already know how I feel about this.
Yo, he must. Hey, yo, if he tried to get Stephanie McMahon on the beach for some pictures, dog, come on, Damian.
Look, man. To go back to the Jay Cargill joint, Russ, you're right. Like that faction should have had Jada Park up in there. If that would have fit better. Honestly, it would fit better than Meech in, but I get it because they were taxi, so I get it. As far as Arch, I ain't gonna front. I care because I want to see. I will only care if they allow R-Truth to defend the title at WrestleMania.
Okay, I respect that.
As much as y'all was on this internet talking about, oh man, R-Truth and all that, then they had the little W. Nah, man, he needs his WrestleMania moment. That would be great. Jelly Roll and Kit Wilson. I'll start by saying the only reason why I care is because they had Jelly Roll rapping. And considering where his career started at, and considering everything else, I only care because that was the time we were supposed to see the Jelly Roll that people don't know exist. And it was terrible. That's why I care, because it was terrible.
Yeah, that
Kid Wilson got him.
Yeah, he did. That's sad. You know what I'm saying? I mean, crowd pops aside. Them crowd pops didn't mean nothing. I listen to the words. man, no, I don't care. See, this is two jobber matches that could have happened to elevate two other people. Jelly Roll don't need to be out there with Kit Wilson. And Kit Wilson is not gonna get over from saying anything to Jelly Roll. Like, yeah, that was a waste of time. I see why the women be mad. Like, yo, you got me in catering for this? It made total sense to me.
Hey, man, the last and maybe least, the Bella Twins are in the tag team title picture. Even though they got their ass whooped by the women's tag team champions when Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss tried to show up, they got their ass kicked. So do we care?
Man, no, man. It's like, no. The Bella Twins, unfortunately, they're messing some of the spots up in this segment by the girls being too delicate with them and vice versa. So, yeah, no, I don't care.
Hey, man, they say you can look but you can't touch.
Yeah, apparently. Facts, apparently. Golly.
Any guarantee.
No, you know what? I'm trying to see where wrestling is going right now. So I do want to say that I guarantee that we're about either three promos or two feuds away from Jade Cargill being the biggest star on SmackDown, like without question.
My guarantee. I think I'm gonna leave my guarantee. I think I'm gonna leave my guarantee with Obafemi better win. Obafemi will win. I'm gonna keep it at that right now. That Obafemi will win. Obafemi will win at WrestleMania. I'm gonna keep it there, and it might change, but they better not. If he powerbombed that man one more time, like, nah, he got that. That shit gotta happen. Before we get out of here, Pops, come say hi to Cam.
Yo,
and Pee Wee. Drag Pee-wee.
Yo. What up, what up, what up?
The reason why I'm outside, because these niggas is loud. And family is white. For those who don't know, this is my father.
How y'all feeling?
Hey, we Devilman twins. It's a two-headed
man. I got a house full of folks. Two-headed, a lot of jokes.
Cap, what's going on, man?
Hey, chilling out, man. You know, we chopping up about some wrestling, you know?
You hear me?
Nah, he said he's chopping up about some wrestling. We finishing the episode now.
Oh, okay.
Listen, now they're like, oh, shit. Oh, here we go.
When did we get a match? You want us to wrestle? You think you want to get
a match? Nah, we don't want y'all to wrestle. You can't see the match.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, let's set the hell of a cell up. Let's set the bull rope match up.
It's at the Mississippi guy. Street Fight matchup.
Like,
is
the Clash and Clark? Yeah. Day.
Well, you saw it at the Valvoline.
I know. I can get him right now. I can take him right now.
He said he can still whoop your ass
right now.
He said he might see you, if you grab me, it's a wrap. It's like,
the Clash in Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Right. So I was out here barbecuing.
Booker, Washington Civic Center.
It's gonna be at the LaFleur County. It's going down in Greenwood at the LaFleur County, at the LaFleur County Civic Center. Also seeing Coco Beware and a couple other wrestling niggas from Tennessee. But thank you all for joining us today. I know we missed out on a couple of weeks, but I want to say rest in peace to my big homie Fred. Last week we had a funeral that we had to attend for him. So I want to give a big shout out to him and everything and his family. So that's definitely the reason why we didn't have an episode last week, because I actually went from a funeral to tacos to a club to kicking it with former Bears players. And it's wild. That's I ain't got it no more. I ain't got it no more. I'm still here. I'm still standing. I'm still strong. But with that being said, pass on over to Ken.
Oh, man. Hey, listen, we appreciate y'all checking out this Saturday evening edition of the First Black Champ Podcast. Man, listen, we appreciate that engagement on a Saturday night, though. All of your engagement to the FBC community is greatly appreciated and highly respected. We thank you and appreciate you unmeasurably. You know what I'm saying? And please never stop, because y'all help make the show and everything what it is, all right? And always remember, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. It's the pick with the VP DOC, and we are round. Hey, F Johnny Wrestling, they got your bitch, cuz.
They do. Wow, I totally forgot about that.